Hi, this is Steve Meyer, and I want to thank you for being a regular listener of the ID the Future podcast. We appreciate your interest in intelligent design and the work we're doing to develop the case for the theory of intelligent design. And I'd like to encourage you, if you find these broadcasts edifying, intellectually or otherwise, to become a regular financial supporter of the work of the Center for Science and Culture. You may know that we depend entirely on private donations. We don't get any federal money. We don't get government money for our scientific research program. And if you find the work that we're doing interesting, we'd be awfully grateful if you'd consider becoming a partner in that work by providing whatever you're able to ensure that that work goes forward.
Today on ID the Future, we're happy to bring you another interview with Dr. Tom Woodward, host of the Universe Next Door syndicated radio broadcast. In conjunction with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, Dr. Woodward regularly interviews CSC scientists and scholars on various aspects of the debate over Darwinian evolution and intelligent design.
Welcome to the Universe Next Door. Today, our focus is on birds, and my dad would be smiling if he could see me taping this program, because the birds are really part of his life, because he was a very avid ornithologist. He was very avid in charting his life list of birds. He was just really loving every songbird that he met for the first time.
Do you remember a particular find or sighting that he was super excited over?
Well, I think that when we came to Florida for the first time during the winter season,
and he saw
skimmers, and I'll never forget seeing them flying just above the deck of the water down in a nature preserve in the area of Sanibel Island, and seeing them with their little beaks down in the water skimming, I guess picking up some water and maybe fish. I don't know what they pick up with those lower beaks. But it was just a marvel, and my dad just loved to go out and just do all of his bird watching in the morning before the sun got too hot. And today with us to kind of plumb the mysteries of birds that are coming to light through a new series of studies that have just been published in recent weeks is none other than the research coordinator of the Discovery Institute, Mr. Casey Luskin, who has been following this exciting, very interesting development, isn't it, Casey?
Yeah, it's a series of papers that came out in the journal Science talking about the origin of birds, and I think it's very friendly to intelligent design, what they're finding. It's very interesting.
Okay. Well, you have been following, of course, so many different areas and topics. You've contributed chapters in a number of books, Traipsing into Evolution. You played an important part in that. You were also a co-author of a book on human origins, science and human origins. And we could go back and all the research you've done and all the fantastic writing, and also, of course, on a regular basis for evolutionnews.org. But this is kind of an interesting twist because of what has come out literally in the last few weeks about the suddenness. Give us kind of the sketch of why these series of genetic studies are really pretty significant and what they seem to be saying.
Sure. So it's been known for a long time that the Cambrian explosion is not the only explosion of organisms in the fossil record. We've also known for a while that the fossil record shows something of a bird explosion, a fish explosion, an angiosperm explosion, a mammal explosion. So from the fossil evidence, we've known for a while that there's sort of an abrupt appearance of many different major bird groups right around the beginning of the Cenozoic period. And now that explosion of birds in the fossil record has been confirmed by a massive genetic study that was published in Science that basically finds that birds arose in an explosive manner. And they're using sort of terminology that we've heard before, saying that there was a big bang of bird evolution or an explosion of birds, similar to what we hear people saying about the Cambrian explosion. So there's sort of this pattern we're seeing repeatedly in the history of life that new forms appear abruptly and rapidly without really enough time for them to evolve by Darwinian evolution.
Good. Casey Luskin, again, from his area of research, working as research coordinator in the Discovery Institute, work on this and other mysteries. Casey, I know that you have recently, in recent weeks that is, put out a couple of very important summary critiques or evaluations of this published evidence, and those are available, aren't they, on evolutionnews.org?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, people just go back to the December list of very important publications. Just skim down. You'll see the ones by Casey Luskin, L-U-S-K-I-N, at that very important source of information. Tell us about the story of this convergence. We see convergence, and you might explain, first of all, what convergence means and how we're seeing it here in the songbird and human vocal genes.
Sure. So convergent evolution, according to evolutionists, happens when the same trait appears or evolves independently in totally different lineages. So, for example, we have wings on both bats and wings on both birds. We were talking about birds again. Well, according to evolutionary theory, the common ancestor of birds and bats did not have wings. So the fact that both birds and bats today have wings is not thought to result from inheritance from a common ancestor, but rather it results from sort of independent or what's called convergent evolution. Now, that's sort of a classic example, and that's actually not the example that's coming out of this story. What's coming out of this story that was recently published, this massive genetic study, is that a number of traits among both birds and actually humans, which normally you would think would be so complex that they would indicate inheritance from a common ancestor, actually cannot be the result of inheritance from a common ancestor. Let me first talk about the example specifically within birds.
Okay.
The standard bird phylogeny, sort of the evolutionary tree of birds that evolutionists use to show how they think birds are related, would group certain similar birds together. And this phylogenetic tree was created using just the morphological and physical traits of birds. So, of course, you would group together birds that were similar, things like birds of prey, like raptors and eagles, and other birds of prey, like vultures or owls. Those would be grouped together based upon their behavioral and physical similarities. And then you would group together other similar birds, like water birds, things like pelicans and herons and ibises and flamingos and grebes and waterfowl. All of those would be grouped together because they have a similar morphology, similar body plan. And then, of course, you would also group together the songbirds, birds like hummingbirds or parrots, and those would be grouped together. So all those groupings were made based upon the sort of physical traits and behaviors of these birds that are similar to one another, therefore they must be closely related. But lo and behold, what happens when they do this massive genetic study looking at the genomes of these birds? Well, what they're finding is that based upon the genes, the genetic sequences of these birds, it totally conflicts with the phylogeny based upon physical traits and behavior. Basically, when you use genes to construct a phylogenetic tree, these birds that seem similar based upon their physical traits, they no longer group together. So, for example, according to the gene-based phylogeny, hummingbirds and parrots are now very distantly related, even though they're both songbirds. Falcons and owls, which are both birds of prey, which were once closely related, are now distantly related. And then the phylogeny based upon genes also separated out the water birds. Pelicans and flamingos were previously thought to be somewhat closely related, both being water birds, but now they've been separated. So the way that evolutionary biologists explain this is through what's called convergent evolution. They say, okay, well, these birds, they have totally different genetics, and they just stumbled upon the same body plans, ways of life, physical traits. They stumbled upon these same traits independently through convergent evolution. And okay, maybe that's possible. But what has happened here is we have seen a total undermining of the logic that is used to infer common ancestry in the first place. Why is that? Well, according to the standard way that we construct a phylogenetic tree, when two organisms share a similar trait, we assume that they share that similar trait because they inherited it from a common ancestor. Well, what convergent evolution shows is that similar traits are not necessarily the result of inheritance from a common ancestor. And so it sort of undermines the very rationale that's typically used to group organisms together as supposedly being related. So if these physical traits are no longer indicative of common ancestry, you know, among songbirds and birds of prey and water birds, if their physical similarities no longer indicate inheritance from a common ancestor in those cases, what about all the other cases where evolutionary biologists tell us, well, the fact that these birds are similar shows they must have inherited the same trait from a common ancestor? Well, no. How do we know that's true? We're willing to toss out that assumption of similarity equals common ancestry whenever we find convergent evolution, quote-unquote. So what we've seen here is basically dramatically conflicting trees. When you compare the tree based upon morphology and the tree based upon genes, we see radical differences in those trees, and those differences undermine the basic assumption that is used to infer common ancestry. And this really poses a massive challenge, I think, to the common ancestry of birds.
Today with us, Casey Luskin. He is the director of research. He's the research coordinator of the Discovery Institute, which is, of course, a very vital funder and director of research and education on intelligent design theory. Casey, I'd like to delve into some of these other related things in genetics of birds, and even maybe if we can get into some of the issues of evolutionary psychology in the next segment. We'll be right back on The Universe Next Door with Casey Luskin and the Explosion of Birds. Welcome back to The Universe Next Door, where we are talking about singing, the singing of songbirds, and the explosion of all kinds of birds. And we were enjoying a discussion of news in the area of genetics that has been brought to light through scientific research. It's really kind of an amazing day when the genomes of a whole cluster of these birds that have never been genetically every letter A, T, C, G of their DNA spelled out. Now they are, and supercomputers are sorting out and trying to analyze and compare these libraries, these genetic hard drives, and they're finding some rather odd and startling results. And to help us sift through this information is an expert in the research area of both evolution and intelligent design. His name is Casey Luskin. He is no stranger to this program. We are so blessed to have his expertise here to share with us on a regular basis. Now, Casey, as we were following this explosion of news, which really is a tracing itself of an explosion, it appears, of DNA or a variety of DNA in these birds, you said that the suddenness of the appearance of major kinds of birds was not unknown. It was sort of known from the fossil record, but you're saying that these new genetic studies are confirming that. Is that, do I have that right?
That's basically right. And I won't go into some of the details of it, but basically what happens is when evolutionary biologists find that it is difficult to resolve the deep relationships between certain types of organisms, the very early sort of branchings of the tree, they often infer from that that there was a very rapid radiation or very rapid appearance of those organisms. So this is using evolutionary assumptions that they are making this conclusion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously we may or may not buy those assumptions, but the interesting thing is that whether you go with or without the evolutionary assumptions, you are still finding abrupt appearance of these birds. And I think that when you understand what's going on, the reason why they're inferring rapid appearance is actually because they're having trouble constructing a phylogenetic tree of birds because it's difficult to resolve those early relationships. And so that shows a problem with the evidence supporting common ancestry as well. So this whole situation and all this data is sort of a package deal that challenges Darwinism and supports intelligent design, in my opinion.
Well, we had talked about the odd convergence phenomenon, and I've always thought that convergence, where evolutionary theorists would say, well, sight or using ordinary means of eyeballs, as we have invertebrates or other kinds of sight systems, they evolved independently. There was this convergence, this parallel development that just by the quirks of nature developed over time. I think there is a convergent issue, is there not, in the data in comparing songbirds of all creatures with humans in terms of their genes? Give us the scoop on that.
Yeah, this is one of the really striking stories to come out of this new genetic study of birds. So it's, again, it's been known for a long time that the singing behavior of birds is sort of similar to human speech. I mean, we see that parrots can mimic human speech, and certain birds certainly have the ability to vocalize in a manner that's very similar to human beings. It's also been known that the brain circuitry of songbirds and human beings is also has some similarities. But what this new genetic study has revealed, and I think this was really surprising, is that birds and humans also essentially use many of the same genes for vocalization and for speech. Now, that was a real surprise because, of course, birds and humans are supposedly very distantly related. I mean, we shared a common ancestor. Boy, it was probably well over 200, 250 million years ago, according to the standard evolutionary view. So it's been a long time since we shared a common ancestor. And let me tell you, most of the organisms that are supposedly maybe even more closely related to us than we are to birds, they don't speak like we do or like birds. And so according to the only really conclusion you can come to from evolutionary thinking is that this is a striking example of convergent genetic evolution. We see that both non-human primates and non-songbirds do not have the ability to have this form of speech and vocalization that we do and that songbirds do. And so how do we explain this? Well, clearly it's not the result of inheritance from a common ancestor. It must be the result of the same trait, according to evolutionists, the same trait arising independently in totally different lineages. But what are the odds of sort of the same genetic traits evolving independently different lineages? Well, that's really very, very low. One of the papers that was published in Science said more than 50 genes contributed to their convergent specialization and were enriched in motor control and neural connectivity functions. That's really striking to see convergent evolution in 50 genes. I mean, that is something that I think an evolutionary scientist would never predict. Now, from an ID perspective, I think that we can predict that we would find the sort of form of convergent genetic evolution where the same genetic traits are appearing in really distantly related organisms. Why is that? Well, an intelligent agent will reuse parts that work in different designs. We see that program designers will reuse the same code in different programs. Technology designers will reuse the same components in different designs. We see that keyboards are no longer just used on computers. They're also used on cell phones or maybe at an ATM. You see that we use the same components over and over again in different designs to perform the same function. So it's a good design principle to reuse the same parts that work in different designs. Well, we see that all throughout life, that similar parts are reused in different designs. But what's special about this case is we're seeing the same parts being reused in a pattern that totally conflicts with Darwinian evolution and common ancestry. And so I think that examples like this are best explained by common design rather than convergent evolution or common descent. And so I think that really this is striking evidence that shows that the tree of life is breaking down and that intelligent design is really a viable option for explaining some of this data.
Fantastic. Today with us on our Universe Next Door program is Casey Luskin. He is research coordinator with the Discovery Institute and a frequent author of both very important articles, reviews of research and other papers and book chapters for the Discovery Institute. And of course, you can always follow that on evolution at evolutionnews.org, evolutionnews.org. Well, it's been a delight to have Casey with us today to review this incredible explosion of information on the exploding birds. Would you consider coming back in a month or two when your paper is going to be published on this issue of evolutionary psychology and the explosion of language?
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Well, we'll plan on that. And of course, if you want to check out all the information that Casey Luskin has shared at greater length in a printed form, you can just visit evolutionnews.org. That's evolutionnews.org, one of your most important sources of information on evolution, creation, and especially intelligent design, hosted by the Discovery Institute. It's been a joy to have Casey Luskin here with us today on the Universe Next Door program. Be sure to check us out online at apologetics.org, where you again find a link to our Trinity College study tour, The Battle for Britain's Soul. See you back here next week on the Universe Next Door.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.